Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live on the free Odyssey app.
It's a drink?
I think she got
like some champagne and orange juice.
I think she got the first one wrong.
I don't even know what's. I don't know what's
going
on here.
I don't think
it's
a Monte Vista. I think it's a Monte Vista.
They're arguing.
What does that have to do with the city?
It's live on the radio.
What about the other one?
Mimosa. Free. I don't think so.
Just because some of us have potty mouths, we are live on the air at this point.
Yeah, you really.
That wasn't. Yeah. Okay.
So.
Don't curse anymore.
Oh, you've given up cursing.
Oh gosh. Please.
Yeah. Okay, bro. Okay,
so,
bro.
Completely so what happened? Because I don't think this person will ever hear it. The person was saying Concord. It's going to be in Concord. And they're like, it's Concord.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, go find three cities in Colorado. I bet you can find some that you can't pronounce. She's like, I can pronounce them all.
Can you tell me who said that? I need to know who said that.
They're on right now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I said, look, I'll find cities in Colorado.
Older Rock Station or Younger Rock Station?
Oh, no, no. The home team. The home team with us. I don't want to say their name.
Okay.
It's easy to find out once you find out. But it's this the home team. Like, we're on 1320. And they're on the other station we're on.
Oh.
So that's where the
guy is. Got it.
So I said, now, I was also thinking, that's not the craziest thing in the world to say Concord if you're not from here. That's not the craziest thing. Like, we know it. We say it is Concord because that's how we know it. Like, we just know it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not from here. I wouldn't. It's not the craziest name in Concord, California.
I was trying to turn my mic on and hit the ding. No, because when you go to a new place, you always dramatically overpronounce things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the craziest thing in the world. I mean, this person has no kind of familiar nothing with all of California, let alone Northern California, let alone this random place in the Bay Area.
She's on 102.5 in Northern California.
That's true. Never mind.
Right down the hall.
Don't listen to what I'm saying. Don't listen to anything I'm saying.
Boy, Kenny just breaking kayfabe, man. I swear to God.
Well, look, if you follow her on Instagram, you know.
Well, that's a shoot, too. That's true.
You know what's going on.
Just like in wrestling, kayfabe is dead.
If the rule of thumb in California is, it's probably pronounced in the laziest way possible.
Oh, okay.
Like Sacramento is Sacramento.
Sacramento.
Concord is Concord. It's just
it's lazy.
Antioch is Antioch.
Antioch is Antioch. Like, it is lazy. Why do we get so lazy?
That's fine.
Sacramento.
Sacramento.
Sacramento. Where
I ain't
you
never
at?
Said the T.
I was listening to a podcast and never even noticed that until what's her name? Saoirse Ronan, who played Lady Bird. She was talking about, because she's Irish, I think. And she was talking about how she had to learn the California accent and how people don't say the T in Sacramento. So yeah, we do. Sacramento. It's right there. Everybody heard it.
It's funny, and I really don't think about California having an accent.
Oh, but,
like,
man.
It's poked fun. It's mostly like Southern California that they poke fun of.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess California does have its own way of.
You probably heard this when you were out there. Everybody on the East Coast, my cousins and everything. Oh yeah, that California accent. You got no accent. What are you talking about?
Well, what I found is people out there, they think California is Los Angeles and really nothing else.
Yeah.
Well, they say we talk like that, even not being from LA. They were like, core, go to the core. Like, I don't say that.
I don't even know what word you were trying to say car? Right there.
Get the car.
That feels real. Car. Like, I don't that say feels that. Real Mr. Fab.
They say car. They say that we say car. No, go to the car.
No, we don't say that.
I'm like, stop doing that. That's
like,
not
what people from California do. No.
They literally said that's what we sound like talking. Like me and my boy Brandon. That's what we sound like talking. I said, no, we do
out
not
there,
sound
they be
like
talking
that.
About the car. You got to go to the car. The C-A-A-H.
That's the truth. That's the how car. They say it. So because we say car.
I got to go to the car. It's the car.
They're like, oh, that accent is crazy.
most words out there end with ah. Is a yeah. The car
in the yard.
The yard. There's a ah in every word.
Say so go to the door.
The door.
They're like, why do you say it like that? What are you talking about?
One
that
of my
California
favorite,
accent is crazy.
One of my
what?
One of my favorite East Coast things is they don't say excuse me there. What they'll do, like if you're at a game, right?
Pardon me?
No. Nope. What they'll do, and it took me a while to notice this, and it wasn't someone doing it to me. I noticed them doing it to somebody else. Instead of saying, excuse me, or pardon me, they stare at you until you move. So, like, your back could be turned. You could be in the midst of a conversation. They will stare at you. And not move until you get out of their way. It's one of the most fascinating things I've ever seen.
People are so rude.
They like talk to you. Oh, they're the worst, especially they're in so Connecticut. Rude. Connecticut's the worst place because I'm convinced. I'm convinced people in Connecticut are either pissed off that they don't live in Boston or they're pissed off that they don't live in New York.
Sounds about right.
So they're stuck in Connecticut and they're angry about it. Oh, it's the worst.
People are so rude on these.
To hell with Connecticut forever.
The Northeast.
The Northeast is the worst.
The lower you get, the nicer people get.
DC is fantastic.
DC is great.
Wonderful. I hated Connecticut. Boston, all of that. Hated it. Hated it.
You hated Boston, huh?
Did not enjoy Boston. Didn't live there, but visited enough. I didn't enjoy it. I lived in Connecticut. I hated Connecticut.
Yeah, see, I've only been to Bridgeport in Connecticut.
That's right.
And New York is really broken down into two types of people. The people who are from there and the people who aren't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be a giant D-bag if you're walking around like a person not from there.
Right.
Yeah. So once you've been there, I don't know, you probably have to set the marker at 3 or 4 times. You have to walk around like you're from New York.
That happens.
You walk with aggression. You don't look up at the sky. You don't do any of that. You walk to your destination. And then
it's really like
you hope you don't run into
traffic lights. Be damned.
All in New York is just like, well, just get out of my way. Well, like that's you're in the way. That's what everybody's saying to everybody else.
Yeah, especially the cars that are driving by you at 45 miles an hour, where they're just going to keep going. They know you're not going to walk in. You're going to step off the curb, but you're not crossing the street. They know that. You also know they're not slowing down. They're just going to keep driving through.
Everybody is basically like, you're in my way. I've got somewhere to go.
Everybody,
pretty much. All New York.
Pretty
everybody
much.
From New York is collectively running an offense.
Right.
You don't know your role in that offense, you're going to have a hard time.
That's it.
Yeah, that sounds that's about it. Right.
Fascinating place.
Sprays in New York are a little different, though.
And that's, but you know what I found, though? Like, that's like Manhattan. That's like the, you know, whether it's upper or lower, whether it's the financial district, Times Square, whatever. I didn't feel that way in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Brooklyn felt much like a chill. Completely different vibe. It much more relaxed, much more chill. Still people there. Certainly not the number
the
of
Bronx
people.
Bronx seems like that too. One, two times I went to the Bronx.
I went to the Bronx.
Kind of busy. The Bronx, I think, isn't that the biggest borough? Outside of Manhattan, I guess.
This is a level of geography Bronx that goes way over my head.
We're bringing the borough question back again. It went really, really bad.
I do think we need to reconsider having boroughs here in Sacramento.
It went really bad the last time we did this. So
I want to make a change for this city, and that's make boroughs out here.
Mama Fox says she walks like she's from New York. Well, if more people walked like they were from New York, less people would get cussed out.
Yeah, I definitely don't walk like I'm from New York. I walk like I'm.
I do. I don't.
California.
I don't do that. Like when I'm going from A to B, but like if I'm going somewhere, like if we're downtown and I'm going somewhere, yeah, I'll walk like I'm from New York. Yeah,
same way.
You ain't in a hurry ever.
It's no, I'm in a hurry. I don't even know how to walk that fast.
I have never seen. Like, I have never seen you in a hurry.
You know
ever.
How you move your legs? Just do that more.
Yeah, but then I'll just start running. Like, what if we're gonna walk that? I'm going to get a light jog in there.
He's got two speeds. Sauntering and running.
Walk like Tupac and Above the Rim. That's how he was walking. When he told
Kyle. Bolt-legged. And
when he told Kyle, you might be on another team, but you play for me, homeboy. And he walks out of there.
He waddled out like a penguin. Why is Tupac walking like that? That's one of the greatest scenes in the movie. What the hell is wrong with Pac?
Oh man. So yeah, shout out New York though. I love New York. And my time in Connecticut was fine. I didn't have a problem with it. Didn't have to spend a whole lot of time there. But it was fine.
I lived there, man. It was not my favorite.
And
the older people at the Mohegan Sun though were delightful. It's true. Like the Connecticut Sun fan base is a little bit. They're a little bit older. You know, it's a casino, but
of course.
They couldn't turn the music up too loud, or the season ticket holders would get upset.
Come on, man.
That's a shoot. I swear to God, man. That's a true story. That's a true story. It was like, yo, what? Like, where's the vibe here? We can't turn it up that loud.
How are me and the kids on the day trip going to get hyped for this game?
So think about it. So the one team that didn't have the camp game
that's
was
right,
Connecticut.
You did mention that, yeah.
You can't come trotting 50 kids through the smoke-filled casino.
Oh man.
They did have a Michael Jordan steakhouse, which was fantastic.
That sounds delicious.
That was amazing.
I need to go to SR Prime. That's where I need to go.
And that's
soon.
A shoot. I was mad our dinner last Friday got canceled.
Yeah, I need to make that happen.
Our girl, Manny.
Well,
thanks, Manny.
It was a great call.
That was good stuff. Appreciate you, Manny.
Hey,
what's up, man?
Yeah, this is funny. It's like when I first moved to Sac, we were living downtown, and we would walk the dog every day. And it took me so long to get used to people saying hi just randomly. Because in Chicago, if you're saying something to me, it's either you know me or there's something about to go down.
Yeah.
So it took me a while. I would ask my girl all the time, like, why are they talking to me? Like, it was weird.
Chicago.
Appreciate you. I've been to Chicago a few times. I can't say I've gotten a big, it's a great city. Can't say I've gotten a major vibe from the people. As we welcome in James Hamm here of the Insiders.
No, shout out James Hamm. There's two things that I want to say before we really
before you do it.
Oh, no. Yeah, we got to handle business.
Thank you. Go to ESPN1320.com. Click on the Nothing But Net giveaway. Do that right now. I'll give you a second. Go to ESPN1320.com. Click on the Nothing But Net giveaway. You can do it from your phone. James, Kyle, you guys, Kenny, both of you, everyone's looking down at their phones right now. You guys can't enter to win, so stop it.
Oh, man.
Enter the keyword defense right now. Nothing But Net giveaway. Enter the keyword defense right now. You're entered to win a $500 gift card.
Mm.
Do that right now. Nothing But Net giveaway.
Man.
Go ahead.
Two things, because we really want to dive into Monty and Mike Brown's exit interviews. But number one, we were talking about Chicago. If that goes through for that little Bear Stadium district thing they've got going on,
that looked fire.
That looks phenomenal.
Yep.
Wow. Incredible. That thing looks crazy. So hopefully it does for them. Never been to Chicago. I would go to a Final Four or WrestleMania for
WrestleMania.
For that. Like, that would be crazy.
Yeah, WrestleMania in Chicago.
The other thing is, just before it got too far away from us, did you see that the numbers for the opening weekend of the playoffs was down this year?
I didn't.
Yeah, 9%. Down 9% this year. And there's only
the Kings aren't in it.
That's the only explanation. There
might be one other team not in it.
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that.
But the Kings aren't in it.
The Kings aren't in it. Now, in all seriousness, this is the first playoffs, I think they said since 2021, that the Warriors are not involved in it. And that has something to do with it. But, however, the ratings last year were the highest since 2011. Warriors were in those other playoffs. The Kings weren't.
Yeah, that's right.
So they skyrocketed when the Kings and the Warriors were in it. I do think that matchup was super intriguing to people.
Absolutely.
I know how I am. Maybe everybody's not like this, but I know how I would be. I know how I was when the Warriors broke their playoff drought. I wanted to see what Oracle was going to look like on that game, their first home game in, at that time, 13 years. So I was tapped in. I think there's a lot of people around the country who wanted to see what Sacramento would look like for that first game.
Mm-hmm.
And then lo and behold, the series was phenomenal. So, yeah.
Hammer, what do you think about the NBA going in the toilet without the Sacramento Kings in the postseason?
Well, it's science.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is a certain amount of excitement that you lose when both Northern California teams are out. Not that like having both of them out is a big deal. I think if one of them is out, that's one thing. But yeah, I think that it does. There's a certain amount of excitement with Northern California. And like, look, if you look at the TV ratings, Sacramento and the Bay Area are always really, really high up on the television ratings for the NBA, especially in the playoffs. So it's just kind of the way it is. These are big, big sports communities. I'm not saying that's the only reason, but I think people are missing out on some really cool basketball. A lot of good stuff, a lot of good storylines, a lot of injuries, guys trying to fight through. I think it's been the first couple of days have been really good.
That feels like the story of the first round right now are guys pushing through injuries or guys who aren't there. Like we talked about Giannis, like Zion's not there either. There's some, and then Joel is just gutting out every second that he's on the floor. We'll have time to talk more NBA as we move along, but we do have Kings stuff to address, Hammer, as from what I understand, you were promptly called out by Mike Brown. Mike Brown, obviously very unclear that you have a live radio show with an audience that you tend to every day, but I'm sure you had to make good with Mike Brown once that press conference was over. But outside of the fine coming your way from the Kings head coach, Mike, say anything that got your attention today?
I don't know. I thought overall, I think today was, you know, kind of like a bow on the season, just kind of wrapping it up and let's just move away from, you know, what was, I don't think it was a disappointing season. I just think it was a season that we're kind of left wanting more. And I think one, you know, a couple of things, I think the free throw number thing that he pointed out is really interesting. Where, you know, if they would have just hit their free throws at the same rate they did last year, their offensive rating would have gone up from 13 to 8, I think is what he said. He comes up with some crazy numbers like this. You know, at the midway point in the season, it was the 3-point percentage. If they were just league average, they would drop all the way down to like number 8 in defensive rating. And sure enough, we saw it in the second half of the season, the defense against the 3-point shot dropped dramatically, and this team looked a lot better defensively. Overall, I mean, I think just the prevailing thought of all of this, you know, whether it was Monday or whether it was today, is just how much they love Malik Monk and how much they pray and have their fingers crossed and are going to say nice things about him, hoping that he'll come back for another tour of duty.
Ham, do you look at this season as a failure? That, you know, they just – not getting to the playoffs and not improving on the win total they had last year is a failure? Or do you see it as, you know, just one of those things? How do you see it? I shouldn't preference it.
Yeah.
How do you see this season?
I think we got like midway through the year and we kind of knew who this team was. right? And so, like, my job is always to, like be realistic and not look at some crazy pie in the sky of this, and this happens. They could do this. You know, when the injuries hit, you kind of knew that they were in for it. You know, again, we, like, here between the three of us and with Kyle being the fourth, we kept talking about, like, these 2 8-game stretches to finish the season. And you looked at the final 8 games of the season, and it was just brutal. And I didn't think the Kings would fare that well in that stretch if they weren't, like, really rolling. And then to lose two of your big, you know, two of your top 5 or 6 players, it was just too much to overcome. So, I mean, again, it was, you know, I had a realistic approach on what was happening. I wish that the season would have gone differently. I wish that there would have been more player movement at the deadline or in January or December when you knew this thing was kind of spinning out a little bit. But at the same time, I understand that, you know, it takes two to tango, and you have to have assets in order to go out and get players. And sometimes it's too much to overcome when you're trying to address some of the needs of a team.
So I think that's a good transition here to this point, and heading over to, you know, Monty McNair spoke today, and I think he was asked by Matt George about, you know, not making any moves at the trade deadline and if he regrets that. And he said, you know, I don't have any regrets. And Matt even prefaced that with, like, look, I'm not privy to the conversations that go on that I don't know about. And you are on a number of occasions through, you know, different points in whether it's free agency or trade deadline, and say, you know, I think the Kings are going to be aggressive. I think they're going to Kings are going to be aggressive. Nothing comes about of that. And it's like, well, that doesn't mean they weren't aggressive. It just means they ultimately didn't land who they wanted to land. With that said, knowing that you probably come up short more times often than you don't, what do you think this offseason looks like realistically for Monty McNair in this front office?
You know, it's the most important offseason we're going to see, mm-hmm. right? Like, in this build, you got to a certain point, you did great work, you know, 2 summers ago, and then you wanted to see how this thing grew organically. And I think we all saw sort of like the plateau, and then like, how do you get over the hump? And I think that part of this is you almost had to wait a season to see, well, to just give Keegan Murray the opportunity to become a better player. And I think everyone expects him to come back next season and be a better player, but you almost had to have this year where you let him grow and let him become, you know, just he's a much better player this season than he was a year before. Defensively, he's gone from, like, you know, potentially league average to all of a sudden a plus defender. And you're like, wow, how did that happen? And then on the offensive end, you know, he goes from 12 points to 15 points, which is a really solid natural progression. And then you'd hope that he'd take the step next season to 18 or 19. And so I think you're always trying to buy time for your young, like, really, really talented players to kind of take these steps that they have to take in order to become, like, high-end functional pieces of your program. But at the same time, you know, you're always kind of left with the what if, you know, like, how did you not go out? I think the way that Monty has been brought up in the NBA system is to swing for the fences, is to build your team around superstars and to try to get the highest end talent possible. And a lot of times that means acquiring, you know, some talent that may not be, you know, the top, but it's with the idea that maybe down the road you'll package multiple guys to go get somebody. And I get that mentality, and I get that there might not have been the right deal at this trade deadline or the last summer coming into this season. But at the same time, like, sometimes you got to hit some singles and doubles. You can't just sit there and wait for the fat curveball that you knock over the fence. And even saying that, I think there's something to, you know, getting the bases loaded before you swing for the home run. And so right now, I think the Kings do have a really solid roster, and I think that the bases are loaded. It's that moment where you need to take a big hack. But if that big hack isn't there, it doesn't mean you stand pat. You do still have to hit these singles and doubles and try to manufacture some runs here and get this roster better for Mike Brown to coach.
Well, that's kind of one of the things we talked about as well, is just, you know, I laid out a scenario where this team comes back next year relatively the same. If that were to happen, I keep throwing out a guy like Malcolm Brogdon, like a regular decent ball player, you know, that maybe is added to the roster that might help you out significantly, but it's not a home run, so to speak, when it happens. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, they got Malcolm Brogdon. It's just like, oh, a little veteran piece. We'll see what happens. And I think if those things happen, like if they stayed relatively the same as a roster, I think this is a 45, 47 to 40 to 50 win team. You know, I thought that's what they were this year. The things that they weren't able to do well, I think are correctable, are things that you can take care of internally. When you talk about free throw shooting and taking care of the ball on a consistent basis. I don't think this team is that far off as is to being a team that can be in the playoffs routinely, maybe win around. Now, if you want more than that, yeah, you got to go get more. But as is, I think this is a team that already can be 47 to 51 team. I mean, a lot of things went wrong this year, and they were one game away from the playoffs again. I don't think they're that far away as the roster is.
No, I would agree with you. I mean, I don't think, you know, like looking at next season, I would think that this team is as long as they don't lose Malik Monk. Now, if they lose Malik Monk, now we're talking about a whole different story. But I would put this team in the same exact ballpark that they are this year. You know, this is a good team, and you know, a couple of balls bounce one way or another, and you're in a different position. And again, like Mike said, you hit your free throws. You're De'Aaron Fox said it on Monday. You're probably a 51 win team if you just hit your free throws, and that's a tough pill to swallow. But at the same time, like there will be, like as much as we talk about natural progression of players, we also have to be honest and say there is natural regression of players as well. And we're to a point in like Harrison Barnes' career where you can't expect him to be consistently, you know, like what he was last season. We might have already seen like the step backwards this season. And what does that look next season, the year after? And we saw the regression of a Kevin Huerter before he got hurt. So like I would caution people just to, this is never like we hear this term all the time, but it's not linear. Like the growth isn't linear, and there are players that we expect to get better, but how much more can you expect out of Domantas Sabonis or De'Aaron Fox as far as getting better? How much can you expect out of, you know, just, you know, the guys on your Trey Lyles or, you know, Alex Len, if you bring him back, you can't really expect that much more. So you have to add something. And I would be really, really surprised if this team came back with, like, they'll have a similar roster, but if it were, like, really, really, you know, identical to what, like, what we saw this year, the run it back mentality, I would be absolutely stunned if that's how we got to this season, this next season, where this team looked the same as they did last year. And, you know, I guess some of the things, like, just to add, like, first of all, I think Malcolm Brogdon's a really good player, and I think he would help the Kings a ton. And I think he would be the difference between them becoming a playoff team versus what they are right now. And even what they are right now is still, like, they could be a playoff team next year because we could see other teams regress, like what we're talking about with some of the Kings players. You know, there's nothing that says that Phoenix is going to be nearly as good. There's nothing that says that, you know, again, at age 40, that LeBron James and that Lakers team is going to keep pushing, or the Clippers aren't going to fall off a cliff, or even the Golden State Warriors aren't going to take a massive step backwards. But you would rather be a team who's on the rise than a team that you're worried about natural regression or, you know, and this team does need more. It needs more in order to take that next step.
I just saw De'Aaron's IG post. Sac fans, y'all deserve to be in the playoffs. We'll get back. Purple heart emoji. Yeah, I'm sure it kills them. I know for a lot of fans, it was tough watching that first weekend. It's like, yeah, this sucks. This sucks without the Kings in it. I can't imagine what it's like for those guys thinking, man, we should have been here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's one of those, I don't have any questions about that.
Yeah, it was just a reaction to I saw Fox's IG thing come up. And
yeah, I feel like it's one of those things that you don't necessarily feel the pain from, or, you know, it doesn't hit you until you're not, until it's actually going on without you. You know, there was probably no doubt in their mind.
Because you felt it last year.
Yeah. Like
you know now. You didn't know what you were missing out before.
Yeah.
Now you do.
And there was probably no doubt in their mind the entire year through everything that they were going to make the playoffs. Like, we'll be in the playoffs. We'll get there. And I don't think that was something they did like in a cocky way. It was just they had confidence. We'll get there. We'll figure it out. We'll find a way to get there. And then when the weekend comes and they're playing without you, it's like, damn. We really didn't make it.
Mm.
And it's probably a tough pill to swallow for sure.
Yeah, I think Sasha even said it too during his exit interview. He said, you know, we lost Malik Monk and we went from number 5 to number 9 in a matter of a couple of days. Mm. He's like, if you don't think he's like important to us, like look at the impact that he had like right away. And I don't think, certainly it speaks to the value of Monk, but it also speaks to the fragility of the team. And the fact that
that's fair. Well, it speaks to the conference. Like they were in 5, but 9 was like a game away. It's not like they lost 7 games straight and fell to 9. Like that was, it had been like that for weeks.
No. I agree with that. But what I'm saying is that your season was hanging like on a razor's edge, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed more depth. You could tell like right away, like, again, this isn't the first time the Kings have walked into the season with, you know, maybe 4 or 5 or 6 guys on the back end of the roster that just like they're not going to be able to help you get over the hump. The fact that Keon Ellis was able to be so productive, I think, hid the fact that, you know, not to like call guys out, it just is what it is, but that the JaVale McGee, that Kessler Edwards, that Colby Jones, like this whole group of players, like they really couldn't help you all that much. There wasn't something when a player went down, they didn't have the ability to come in and like pick up the slack. And that's not, again, an indictment on them as much as it is just like the overall creation of the roster. And when you get past the top 8 or 9 guys, you know, I think the Kings got very lucky with how healthy they were the year before. I think they also, you know, fought through injuries and they had healthy guys who have notoriously been healthy throughout their career. But at the same time, I think that when you did have injuries happen this season, it did expose the lack of depth and sort of that next tier of player that you haven't been able to bring along quite as quickly, or, you know, again, like maybe they needed to go in a different direction at some point during the season or during the off season to just bolster that area of the team.
Did you, not trying to get you in trouble or anything else like that, but did either one of those guys today say something that kind of raised your eyebrows out? Like, I don't know. I kind of disagree with that. Was it Monty? You know, maybe because a lot of people have talked about him at the trade deadline and not making a move in his explanation, saying, oh, I don't know, Monty, I think there's something you could have done. Was it that, or was there anything else that you kind of raised your eyebrows at?
No, I don't think so. You know, Mike had to talk about offense all season long because he was trying to kind of squash this whole, like, is there a problem between Monty and Mike where you have a defensive-minded coach and a guy who keeps stacking up offensive players? I think that really didn't rear its head as much today as it had like maybe post All-Star break, where there was a lot of like this pseudo tension. People thought there was tension when there really wasn't all that much tension. I don't know, like I have a hard time like walking through the season thinking that there was no way you could have improved the roster at all, even if it was a short term Band-Aid fix to try to get you over the hump, to try to make some sort of impact on this team. And so, yeah, I don't know. Like, Monty's not going to give you a whole lot from these press conferences, and I get that.
He gave you a lot of... I'm not going to get into that.
I'm not going to get into that. I will say this, though. I'll say this. The one thing that stood out to me like very clearly is I think there is a question, like if we were to start this season over again and everybody out there would have said, how much is Malik Monk worth? I think we would have all come up with a like a different number, but the number would have been somewhat close. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. What would you guys think? Like 14, 15 million a year coming into this year? Something like that? Maybe a little bit more?
Yeah, I'm probably biased. I would have said 18 to 20.
When he was averaging 13.5 points a game last season?
Yeah, I thought he was great last year.
Oh, no. I thought he was too, but I think that there was a certain amount of value that you put on Malik Monk. And then it became, okay, what is a maximum? Because I started like jumping into it earlier, like what is the maximum they can give him? Mm-hmm. And then I do all the research and I put it out there. Okay, the maximum they can give him is only 17.4 million. It's 4 years, 78 point, whatever. Like we start seeing this number that's out there everywhere now. But that was the number I started coming up with initially and saying, okay, but is Malik Monk really going to get $80 million over 4 years?
Hmm.
And I think by the end of the season, we're all like, oh boy, like Malik Monk just went from, you know, a guy signed a 2-year $19 million deal to a guy who might be in line for maybe a 4-year 60. And all of a sudden you're like, did he really just take a jump to an $80 to $100 million player over a 4-year contract? And I think the answer is yes, he did. Mm-hmm. Like, and he's going, there are teams out there that can pay him that. So again, it's the old thing, your house is worth what someone will pay for it. And I think someone will pay a whole lot for Malik Monk. And I bring this up because I think that it was interesting that it wasn't just Mike, it was also Monty that was like, oh no, we're all in. Mm-hmm. No, we're all in. If it's 17.4 million bucks, we're in. Like, we'll give you whatever it is we can give you and offer you whatever opportunity we can offer you. We want you back. The fans want you back. You love us. We love you. You love the city. Everyone loves everybody. Please come back. I thought that was something that was intriguing because, again, like a GM's got to do what's best for his team long term. He doesn't have to do what's best for one player in one offseason. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Malik Monk could have a great, like taking off career here. He also could be just kind of this guy, and that's a lot of money to spend on a sixth man of the year. And again, he could take his step and he could be an all-star point guard. I don't know what he's going to be, but the fact is, I think we here in Sacramento, we value Malik really highly because we see the energy and we see the fun that he brings and the lighthearted spirit and all that stuff. But that doesn't mean that he's going to have like a massive successful career from here on out. And it's just one giant, you know, vertical climb to the top for Malik. Mm. And for the GM and the coach to say, yeah, we're all in on everything we can give him, we will give him. I thought that was another point from today.
Hmm. And James, you could correct me if I'm wrong. Obviously, the insiders broadcasted that press conference live, and you were there on Monday when the players were talking. Felt like the whole first part of this week was about Malik Monk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I told you guys, like, it felt like the funeral, like where like you got the dudes who are, everybody's got the casket on their shoulder and they're dancing. That's what Monday felt like. It felt like everyone was coming to like the happy wake of Malik Monk leaving and like how tough this is going to be, but they all love him and they want him back, but they all understand it's a business and blah, blah, blah. It really did feel that way. And, you know, like I've sat here and had like nonstop, even on Twitter, people asking all of the difficult questions when it comes to salary cap. And it's like, okay, no, you can't sign him to a 1-year deal and then give him his Larry Bird rights. It's got to be a 2-year deal, or he could take a 1-year deal worth $12 million and then get his Bird rights and then sign a long-term. Like all of it's so complex, but people are so stressed out and concerned about this, like out in the general public. And it's the same within the walls because they all know that, you know, if you bring Malik back, you still have the mid-level exception. You still have the biannual exception to go out and use to get better. And on top of that, you still have your pick all of a sudden where maybe you can trade your pick for a rotational player. And then on top of that, you still have these trade pieces that maybe you can trade and maybe you can't trade. But at least you can try to go out and maneuver around. But you take Malik out of that puzzle, and it looks pretty dark. Like, I don't think it's like, oh, they're over. It's not that, but now you're scrambling and trying to find the next Malik Monk in addition to trying to change your roster in other ways. And that really puts a wrench in sort of the continuous build, the organic thing that you are trying to do here. And so I do think it's a big deal. It's a big deal for everybody involved, because the players know as well as I do, as well as you guys do, as well as Mike Brown does, Monty McNair, that without Malik Monk, this team is not nearly as good. And how do you fix that? And there's not a lot of mechanisms to fix that if he leaves, and you would much rather be in a situation where you're trying to build with him than trying to replace him and then build on top of that.
Just to clarify something you said the Kings could trade their pick and get a rotational player. They could trade their pick after they draft a player, correct?
Well, yeah, but they can also select a player for somebody.
Right, that's what I mean.
We saw it last season. Yeah. So basically what we saw last season is when the Kings came up on the clock with the 24th pick, that pick had already, in theory, had been traded to the Dallas Mavericks along with Rashawn Holmes for, I don't know, it was a former European prospect, just the rights to somebody, because you have to give up something in these trades, right? So when that deal happened, the Kings selected Omax for the Dallas Mavericks. Mm-hmm. And that could happen again. The Kings cannot trade their pick in ahead of the draft. They can't trade it the day before. And technically speaking, they can't trade it on draft night. They can't even trade it until, like, I think it's the July moratorium ends, which is like July 4th or July 6th now, where free agents can actually be signed. So if you do pull off a trade, it wouldn't even happen until later on, like a week after the draft or 10 days after the draft. It's just slightly complex how you have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's a sketchy future, certainly a concerning future that seems to center around Malik Monk. We'll talk more with James Hamm about the Sacramento Kings when Dylan and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're listening to D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento's sports leader, ESPN 1320.
Get used to it, Kings fans. This is going to be the offseason this year. Malik Monk did not win the NBA's Sixth Man of the Year award, despite his 15.4 points per game and 5.1 assists. He lost that honor to Naz Reid, who started the last month of the season and averaged 13.5 points per game and 5.2 rebounds. Like I said, get used to it, because we're going to have this same exact conversation when all NBA teams are named and Domantas Sabonis' name isn't called.
I would like to know the rationale behind it.
I can tell you, I'll turn it up right now because I know exactly what they're saying. The Timberwolves won. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah.
They're talking about the Timberwolves winning.
That's
look, even Ernie's befuddled. But Ernie's like, yeah, I don't want to talk about this guy. You got to be kidding me. You got Ernie Johnson stumbling over his words. Hey, congrats, Nas.
Congrats to Nas Reed, man. He's a heck of a ball player. He had a really good season, but he didn't have the Sixth Man of the Year season. He didn't have that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's just kick in the teeth to the Kings.
And all those dummies with votes, those Bill Simmons, those Ryan Russillos, who, by the way, I'm out on Russillo. He's got his head shoved firmly up his ass.
What'd he do?
You didn't hear what he said about LeBron? Made a whole video about it.
I saw Trista's video, but I couldn't play it.
She was like, well, that's safe, especially if the second graders were around. Russillo's like, can we stop marveling at what LeBron James is doing? They keep talking about how LeBron James is 39 years old. Okay, he's not 89, and he's also 6'8". Okay, Russillo.
Man, come on, man.
You've lost your card. Sit down. I don't want to hear nothing from you anymore. But all these little goofballs like Ryan Russillo and your boy Bill Simmons and the rest of them, they've all determined, hey, the Kings got their awards last year. Mike Brown got Coach of the Year. Monty got Executive of the Year. We gave De'Aaron his little award. We gave Delmas his little acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. That's done. So they took it out on Malik Monk this year, who was very clearly the league's best sixth man.
100%. I mean,
No questions asked. Yeah. No questions asked. It's, to me, it's an absolute, absolute joke. And I know a lot of people who do vote, and I just don't get it. Hmm. Like, I don't. I mean, you can try to make the case that Nas Reed showed that by stepping into a starter role and producing in such a way and to have his team keep winning showed that he's as valuable as the next man up, but that's not the spirit of the award. Mm-hmm. And so I don't get it. Like that to me, I don't vote on these things, but I think that's irresponsible.
Reminds me, this is a true story. This happened here before. It ain't the first time. Carol Lawson, Sixth Man of the Year, made the All-Star team. Averaged 12.2, was very clearly the bet, and she didn't start in front of Tisha Panichero. Mm-hmm. They had Tisha starting. She came off the bench. Made the All-Star team,
That's crazy.
Coming off the bench.
Yeah.
And didn't get the Sixth Man of the Year because Ryder thought, well, she's too good. She plays too many minutes. She plays like... She plays like a starter. She finishes games. So it's nothing new for star role players in this market to get passed over for the Sixth Man of the Year award or Sixth Woman of the Year award.
You just want the right person to get the award. You know, this isn't really about Sacramento, so to speak. Like, oh, I just want him because he's a king. Like, that's my guy, Malik Monk. And yeah, I love the Kings. I'd love to see him win it, but he also deserved it. He also earned it. You know what I mean? And he was the right guy for the award. And to just ignore those things and give it to somebody else. And I hate that this has got to be the conversation, or at least around here, for guys like Nas Reed, because Nas Reed had a great season. But he didn't deserve to win this Sixth Man of the Year award.
The other thing is you've made this 65-game rule while just openly not acknowledging, like, Malik played 72 games. Mm-hmm. He missed the last 10. That's what this is all about. He really missed the last 9. That's what this is all about. Nas Reed was playing in place of Karl Anthony Towns. So Malik goes out. They just stopped thinking about him. Yep. We ain't got to think about Malik no more. He's not playing. Oh, look at what Nas Reed is doing. Oh, what it really boils down to is Minnesota didn't suck when Karl Anthony Towns went down. And they thought, oh, that's because of how Nas Reed has been playing.
Yeah.
All right. Salute Nas Reed. But this ain't your award, Brody.
Yeah.
That's bad.
And that sucks because the other thing we know, Malik wanted it.
Yeah.
Like, this wasn't nothing to Malik Monk. Like, right. Malik Monk wanted this award.
Right.
He said on Monday, it means everything. Like, I feel bad for him right now. I think that's absolute trash. I love Nas Reed as a player. I think that Naz Reid was the guy that the Kings, if he did actually hit free agency yep. last year, should have attacked like crazy to go get him. Mm. And I think he would have been a perfect fit alongside of Domantas Sabonis. But he just was not as good as Malik Monk all season long. And to me, that's just a travesty. I don't get that at all. And, you know, again, why media members are out there getting to vote on this is like, just because you are in the media doesn't mean you know basketball like this.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's a shame.
Got to make some of those guys feel important.
Boy, that's one thing that's uncovered, been uncovered since me getting this job and being in this position and seeing some of these guys could be great guys, but they don't really know what the hell they're talking about half the time. And these are the people that I, as a consumer, before I knew how everything was going, these guys I used to go to for information. Mm-hmm. These guys, oh man, yeah, Ryan Russillo, yeah, he, come on, man, this dude, he know what he talking about. Then you get in here and you see how these, see how things are going down and things are made. It's like, why am I listening to you again?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do you hold so much cachet? Why are you voting on these awards? For what? You don't even stay up and watch the games.
I feel really bad for Malik.
And don't forget about the lobbying that goes on. The mm-hmm. lobbying that goes on is nuts.
That's like, that's
I
facts.
Know, like the second that the Thunder were the number one seed, they had people calling voters, you know, making sure that they were reminded that they're the number one seed and that that Shea deserves to be the MVP.
Now, to be fair, like, that's that not that like teams launch those campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
Calls, that's bold. But they'll send out packets to media members for De'Aaron Fox being the clutch player of the year, from Malik Monk being the sixth person of the year. Like, that's not even remotely unusual. Lunchboxes to make the All-Star team. But the calls, oh, that's different.
Yeah.
The calls is different. They send out media packets. That's a shoot. Mm-hmm. But the calls, that's extra thirsty.
And you know what?
But the campaigning is real.
But you know what? I mean, I also don't blame the teams, because that's what you got to do to show your players that I got your back. I'm a shoot for you. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do what I can. I blame these incompetent voters that are swayed by stuff like this, yeah. that are influenced by these stuff. I mean, what are you doing? That somebody sends you a letterhead or a or gives you a phone call, and it's like, well, yeah, that's a good point or whatever. Man, watch the game. You won't have to have no good point. Watch what the hell's going on, and you won't need all this stuff. You'll know what's going on. They don't do that, though.
Yeah. Tough day. Tough day for Sacramento.
Well, there's another one on the way.
That, so. Please. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that other stuff is over. That other stuff, just that it clearly ain't happening.
Yeah, I'll be shocked if Domas' name even gets mentioned when they announce those all NBA teams.
Guy had a historic season.
He did.
A season that this league hasn't seen in its 75-year existence.
He's one of the most disrespected players in the entire league. You know what I heard? Oh, what was it? Where was I? Was it last night? Oh, it might have been this morning when I was catching up on SportsCenter this morning. But they were talking about Siakam. Siakam's had a hell of a start to the postseason. And I can't remember who the other player was. I don't know if it was Jokic or I can't remember who it was. But the emphasis on, you know, there are only two players that have ever started a series the way Pascal Siakam has. It's Wilt Chamberlain and Nikola Jokic. Or it was definitely Will. I don't know if the other one was Nicole. And I was thinking, man, imagine if that player had done something only those two guys had done the entire 82-game season.
Well, Siakam, his team got blasted in game one. Like, what are we even talking
Doesn't
about?
Doesn't matter.
They got blasted by a team that has a bunch of G-leaguers on there outside of Dame Lillard. and we celebrating his start to the playoffs. For what?
Like, when we get to All League 2, like the recency bias, it only works like every once in a while and usually against the Kings. So again, Naz Reid has a great finish of the season while Monk is hurt, right? That was meaningful. And you could also look at the way that the Kings fell off the board when Monk wasn't there as a reason why he should have won the award. But what they're not going to do is look at the fact that Tyrese Halliburton had a trash second half of the season. And when it comes to all league, he's still going to be all league at 20-10. But let's not talk about the 17-9 that he averaged in the whole second half of the season while shooting 30% from three. And that's where it's like, okay, like, look, if you're going to do recency bias and steal an award from Malik Monk, then let's be honest and let's do that when it comes to all league as well, and go down and look at the stats and see who played well and who didn't down the stretch, see who it was that, that actually mattered. And that's just not the way it's going to be. They're going to say, oh, well, look, he put up these numbers and look at where he was. You know, he's a media darling. He's an all-star and all that. He just made the Olympic team. But the fact that he didn't play well the whole second half of the season after they got Siakam, like, okay.
Malik Monk, according to Stat Mamba, Malik Monk is the first player in 35 years to lead the league in bench scoring in back-to-back seasons without winning Sixth Man of the Year.
Oh, he was pissed last year he didn't get it.
Oh, he's not happy this year. He responded with laughing emoji, facepalm emoji, facepalm emoji.
And you know what this does, in my opinion, and it's something you got to think about. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean he's gone or whatever the case may be. But Malik Monk, if I'm him, I could understand him saying, man, I'm done with this six man stuff. For what? For what? Next place I go, I'm starting. You don't even give me no acknowledgement for what I do coming off the bench. For what, man? It's time to start. Wherever I'm at, that's a prerequisite. And then I don't blame him if that's how he was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, and even in the chat, someone makes a point. It's Jay. I missed that. Oh, no. Let's see. Where did that go? No justification for the league leader in rebounds not being an all-NBA. It's not just the league leader in rebounds. He also averaged 19 points and was sixth in the league in assists per game at over 8 per game. And again, there's no way you can leave a guy like that off of all-NBA, but they probably will.
Did he lead the league in triple-doubles?
Yeah.
Yes. Triple-doubles, double-doubles, rebounds, rebounds per game.
Had it broke league,
well, shares. You know, though, God damn it, that rim protection.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It really is crazy, man. It really is crazy. And I don't mean no disrespect to these two, because you know these two are my favorite. But, nah, I can't do it because we have to get both Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on All-NBA.
By 10 points. 45 first-place votes for Naz Reid, 43 for Malik Monk. 39 second-place votes for Naz Reid, 39 for Malik Monk. 10 third-place votes for Naz Reid, 10 third-place votes to Malik Monk. It was total points 352 to 342. No one else in the conversation. Bobby Portis got the courtesy nod.
You said 343. It was 2 points?
No, 10 points.
10 points.
352 to 342.
342. Okay, I got you.
It boils down to the two first place votes, which basically means two people didn't vote for Malik Monk in first, second, or third. Because look at this. Naz Reid got 45 first place votes. They got the same amount of second place votes and the same amount of third place votes. That means two voters voted Malik Monk outside of the top three.
We need to know who they are. We absolutely need to. I'm all for. I don't give a damn what Pop talking about. We need to know every vote that happens and who made it. Ain't no secrecy anymore or whatever. And if you don't do like Mark Spears and some of these other guys, if you don't want that smoke, if you don't want that heat, then
don't be a voter.
But the names need to be revealed. No more secrecy and all this other stuff. Stand behind what you believe. If you believe in it, that's what you believe, and say it. Stand behind it. Don't hide behind anonymity. No, that needs to be done. And we need to know the two writers that didn't vote for him.
It's a complete crap.
Oh.
I forgot we have a sound guy in there. That's fun. Hey, everybody, look. The insiders are here.
I'm a dog.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey, James.
Very good. It's very good. Kyle, would you like to express any outrage over Malik not being sixth man of the year?
It's a complete crap.
No, thank you.
This is completely BS. Thank
you. I like that.
Well, that's see, and now I don't know what's more of an outrage. The fact that he didn't win or the fact that two people didn't
no,
win.
No, I'm pretty pissed off about the voting.
I'm pretty pissed off about the voting. An embarrassment.
This is trash.
That's an embarrassment.
We need to know who it was. If I've ever seen one. We need to know who it was.
They need to stand up. They need to say who it is.
I'd love to go to the alternate universe where Malik doesn't get hurt and the Kings make the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah, can we just rewind and go right to that universe right now?
Man. Yeah, no, because in that event, forgetting, you know, the whole Kings in the playoff aspect of it, just from a Malik Monk sixth man of the year standpoint. Mm. Like he wins the award if he stays healthy, but there is so much you guys talk about like not watching games and not paying attention. I think for a lot of people, it is like, all right, I'll lock in the last 10 games, then I'll look at the stats and then I'll watch a little bit here and there. And Malik Monk just wasn't there. He wasn't available in the last, what was it, 3 weeks of the year?
It would. Part of me, and you're right, Kyle, part of me believes they would have found a way not to.
Well, probably.
Probably. I mean, that's on the table, definitely. But I think if he's making an impact down the stretch, and which I think he would have, I think he wins the award.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, people are already saying Kevin O'Conman is one of them.
Yeah, he needs to say what he did or didn't do. We need to know. Hey, we got 1,100 people up in here right now. More people listen on podcasts. If you got a Twitter, go. We are going to punk him into telling us who he voted for if he don't do it already. Go ask him.
King's Twitter, go get him.
Go get his ass.
Go get Conman. Because
he needs to say whether or not he voted. We're going to bully him into finding out who he voted for. It ain't even going to bully him if he didn't vote for Malik Monk first. If he had Naz Reid, fine, that's whatever. But we need to know.
We need to know who the hell did that. Malik.
Why do you guys call him Con Man when his initials clearly spell something different?
Well, see, could call him that.
No, we couldn't.
Not on here. Not on here. On Twitter, you can do whatever you want.
Kevin O'Conman, I'll just stick with that.
I called a man by his name, Kevin O'Connell.
No, that's the Vikings head coach.
Him too. He probably voted for Naz Reid with his Minnesota ass.
Poor Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota getting all this smoke.
You know what would anger? See, this is why I'm a superior trash talker, if I do say so myself. You know what would anger somebody more is getting their name wrong. As opposed to a nickname. if I had a beef with James, I'd be like, I don't know if James Hams gets it right or not. And he'd be like, it's Ham. Oh, my bad, James Hams. Sorry. You know, it would just irritate me. It's so passive aggressive. It is so, you're obviously getting their name wrong on purpose, but there's an allure of, I don't care about you enough to get your real name right, as opposed to like making a joke of his name. Then you're making a joke of his name. So it's Kevin O'Connell.
Anybody remember what Antonio Harvey called him?
Called who?
Kevin O'Conman.
No, what he called? No. Wait a minute.
Well, you had to be there. You had to be there. If you don't remember what Antonio, I can't help you.
I vaguely remember.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Hey, is the show over?
Talking to air.
Yeah,
probably.
It is? Okay.
Yeah, well. Charlie said no hard outs. Last time I tried to tell you a time, you were like, never do that again. I will murder you. So I was just going to let it rock.
Okay. I don't think that ever happened, but that's fine. All right.
It's been one of those days, Kyle. It's been one of those days.
Tough go for me.
D'Lo and Casey, along with the Insiders Mega Show here in the 3 o'clock hour. Kyle, great work.
We love you, Malik. We love you, dog.
I'm hugging Kyle right now.
We will.
How about a hug?
We'll see you guys tomorrow, beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.